Right, idiots. This is Mr. Williams.
This is the Playboy Prince of Professional Wrestling, Lanky Vera.
This is Brian Adamson.
This is Cyrus Blackwell, and you will say my name.
To Jack Sinclair.
This is Joey Fabulous.
This is the Monster of Madden.
And you are listening to the
Broken But Glorious.
To Broken But Glorious.
Broken But Glorious podcasts. Idiots. Get it done now.
Hello and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm Chris Lapp and I'm delighted to be joined on the line by wrestler and promoter Joe Fabulous. How are you doing this evening, Joey?
Hi, mate. I'm good. How are you?
Very good. A bit knackered, but good.
Yeah, long day.
Very long day. Yeah. I got to work 7:30. I got home at 8:00.
Oh, sounds like a lovely day.
Yeah. 12 hours of talking to the public, so it's always fun.
Yeah, well, as your day's ending, my evening is just beginning with work, so think of me while you're asleep.
Yeah. Cool. So, Joey has joined us to discuss his upcoming show, Just Fabulous Pro Wrestling Day 2. Is it Bruised to Be Fabulous at...
Bruised But Fabulous it is,
At the studio of Witness on the 15th of December. Before we get into the event, I just want to ask a few questions about how you got into wrestling and a bit of history about the promotion. So, who was your favourite wrestler growing up?
It's a hard one. I always say Triple H because, for me, I didn't like The Rock and I didn't like Austin.
Yeah.
And I'm still not a fan of Undertaker. For me, it was always Triple H, but all, people always say but he was the bad guy. But for me, it's harder to make someone hate you than it is to run out and clap your hands and be a big people person. So because he was doing a job of making me hate him, it was always Triple H for me. But I think it's a two-part answer, because Shawn Michaels is really the greatest of all time, but Triple H is my favourite wrestler of all time, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. I was a big fan of Jeff Triple H growing up as well.
I think you're one or the other, aren't you? You're Triple H or The Rock, and even now I'm not a big fan of The Rock. I understand, I appreciate what he does, but for me it was Triple H or The Rock, and I just picked Triple H.
I never liked Rock matches, because all he did was punch and kick.
That's my thing. And people say to me, why don't you like The Rock? Because he didn't really do much. He was good on the mic and he punched and he kicked, and he's great for TV and business, but I think Triple H did a lot more to make me get involved.
Yeah. Definitely. So what prompted you to don the tights and get in the ring?
I think everyone who likes wrestling kind of wrestles on the bed at home with the friends or with teddies or with the figures always has a dream of one day that, I'll give it a go. And then I never really looked into it. I think at one point I rung All-Star in Birkenheaden.
Yeah.
Got a few ideas and prices and then never really did anything with it. And then a friend of mine, Phil, and a girl called Claire, were like, we're going to go to the school in Runcorn. You're going to come with us. And they planned to go. That was earlier in the week on the Saturday. They were going. So I thought, you know what? I'll go. I'll give it a chance. Because, as I say, it's something we all dream of doing as a wrestling fan.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, if I go and I have one session and I hate it and I never go back, at least I've tried. And then I didn't hate it and kept trying. And I took some time off a little bit, but then I'm right back to putting on them pink hot pants again and making people laugh. So
I've heard if you survive the first training session, then it's for you.
Yeah, and I think because not only did I survive it, I enjoyed it as well.
Yeah.
So it wasn't my body was sore the next day, but it was I'm sore, but I enjoy the reason that it hurt my body. I'll go back. And I think it's a passion thing. If you don't have the passion, you're not going to like it.
No.
If you're just oh, I'm going to be a wrestler, I'm going to slap my chest and come out and pleather. It's not for you. I think it's something you've got to put the effort in for.
Yeah, definitely. So was Triple H the wrestler you wanted to kind of mold your style around when you start training?
It's a strange one. I mentioned there was Phil, and then there was Claire, and then the following week, Matt Fox came with us.
Yeah.
And he was a friend of Phil. And I think we all started, and within a couple of months, we all shifted the role we wanted to do. So I wanted to do the Triple H cerebral technical thing. And then Phil wanted to do a monstery thing, I can't remember the top of it. And Matt was going to be comedy and stuff like that. And then within a few months, we all changed. And Matt was doing a technical thing And I was doing a comedy thing, and everything we kind of set out to start doing was just like completely changed. So I think you just find your niche, you just find what you're good at with it. So I think we all go into want to replicate someone and then realise that it's not as easy as it looks.
So where did the idea for the Joey Fabulous character come from?
Originally, I was playing like a camp character.
All right.
And it was like, I'd wear like flamboyant gear, and a long time I dressed like a woman. So I'd have like a Spice Girls vest and like the hot pants and like the pink headbands. And
yeah.
I'm sure if you ask Matt Fox, you'll have pictures of this somewhere. And I'd wear like golden boots with like pink knee pads and stuff like that. And then the more it kind of gradually changed. It was still, I kept the comedy side of things. And like but then I gradually evolved the character, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then I was teaming with a guy called, Little John Norton. And he was taller than, he was like 6'2" and about 22, 23 stone.
Wow.
And he was like, I'm not doing this comedy stuff. And I was like, right, okay. So I toned down the comedy, but in the end, we were a team, and it was like, I'd get matching gear. And there was no way he was going to put hot pants on. So I ended up going to the trunks, but still kept the, I kind of kept the, like, the comedy and the happy side of the character, but like, played it up a bit more, like, as a straighter character, if that makes sense.
So were you like an odd couple type of tag team?
Yeah, so like, the premise was, that John was like the odd couple, and he came to like the Who's the Bell told he'd come out to, and I'd come out to Sexy and I Know It by LMFAO.
Yeah.
And then the characters was like, I was trying to progress John to, you know, to get more and more into like a happier side.
Mm.
And in the end, John hit his back, and before it could kind of pay off the angle, John just had to stop wrestling because his back was just getting too bad for him.
Oh,
that's okay. Yeah.
We had a good one. Cool. So take us back to your first match. What do you remember about it in hindsight? Did you enjoy it? Was it any good?
Oh, you know what? My first match is still on YouTube.
Ah, cool.
And I'm not going to admit to this because people go and look at it, but yeah, I'm not going to tell you who I was wrestling. The camera was off. There was something wrong with the colour on the camera.
Mm.
So I was wrestling as a character called Joey Best at the time. And I had black and gold tights. But on the camera, because the colour was off, me tights were green and pink, or green and red.
Wow.
And it just looked horrendous. Not only was the first match horrendous, like, everything about it just went wrong, because the camera colours were off. You overplan, and then you realise you don't really have to plan that much, and you forget everything. I know it was in a tag match, but I can't remember off the top of my head who it was. I've got it at home saved as a YouTube link.
Yeah.
But I can't remember who it was against. I don't know. Yeah.
I shouldn't search it and put it in the description below.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I'll send you the link over later.
So do you have a style of wrestling or a match type you really enjoy working?
For me, I was all about comedy stuff.
Hmm.
Because wrestling is whatever you make it, and for me, it's for children. So a child comes, they're always going to remember the character who does the comedy, the character that made them laugh.
Yes.
I'd always try and think different bits to make the children laugh. But then, if you can make the child laugh 9 times, then the parent's going to laugh as well. And it's a different type of enjoyment for a wrestling match. Because if you come to a wrestling show, you expect to be entertained by the wrestling, but you can also be entertained by like the laughing and the comedy side of things. Like, that for me is a big thing.
Yeah, definitely.
And then more recently, I've started doing like we've been calling them softcore matches. So like with like silly weapons. So me and Jack Sinclair had a match on a charity show, and we used like wet floor signs and like Lego, and in the end, we built to a table.
Yeah.
But for me, like, the wet floor sign and the Lego built the premise of the comedy for the match.
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, there was the table at the end. And then, a show at the weekend, a wrestler guy called Matt Davis, and we used, you know, like pool ball, not pool, but like soft balls for like a ball pool.
Yes. Yeah.
And like stuff like that. So I'm doing a bit more, for want of a better word, hardcore matches, but I'm still keeping like the comedy aspect of it as well.
Yeah, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's different because, but for me, again, if you come to a wrestling show, it's variety. Like, it's ice cream, isn't it? You like vanilla, and yeah. I like chocolate. And would you try and put a show on that will cover all the ice creams people like?
Yeah, definitely. I've asked wrestlers a couple of times if somebody brought out a bag, would you want it to be pins or Lego? And most of the times they say pins because they want to fall on Lego.
So, yeah, for the first time in my life, the weekend, we put pins in this match. Luckily enough, it wasn't me who took the bump on the pins, but like the Lego for me is fine. I will land on Lego any day of the week now because I'm just so used to doing it because it's something I do in a lot of the matches now.
Yeah,
got a pin in my arm, one pin. So I put the pinfall on the lad, put my arm down, and one pin went in my arm, and it was the most painful thing ever because I wasn't expecting it. Whereas Matt Davis had said to me, because he'd landed flat on all the pins, it was fine.
Yeah. You couldn't do like a Cactus Jack against Triple H at Royal Rumble 2000.
Hey, we'll see what happens. Yeah.
Cool. So what's been your favourite match so far?
I wrestled for the longest time. It was I wrestled Matt Fox in... Yeah. Well, it was a RWA show, but it wasn't in Ringland. Where was it? I think it was in Frodsham. It was at a centre of Frodsham.
Yeah.
And we've done this thing where I turned heel to team with Matt, and then it built to me turning face, and then me and Matt went against each other. And we only had the one match, but for me, up until recently, that was probably the best match I'd ever had. Yeah. And if people ask to see one of my matches, I'll always show them me and Matt because I think because he was my best friend and it was kind of like I just enjoyed it and yeah. It just flowed and it just felt right for me. And then I wrestled Jack Sinclair on a charity show a few months ago, and like for me, he's at a standard where, because I think I said to him, that was the best match I ever had. And I said, for Jack, he's where Matt was, but not fully chiseled out yet, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely.
So, like, I think, not to blow Jack Sumpter, but I think he's one of the most underutilized guys about, I think, the character and the work he puts in. And that match with me was completely out of his comfort zone. It wasn't something he'd usually do.
No.
And it just flowed, and he was spot on with it. And for me, that's the best match. Him and that match with Matt are tied for number one. It's my favourite match for different reasons, if that makes sense.
Yeah, cool. So, have you ever been starstruck when walking into a dressing room?
Not by wrestlers. For one, if that makes sense, it's kind of like, for me, we're all there to do a job.
Yeah.
We're all there to be wrestlers. And it's kind of like, it's nice to meet these people, and it's nice and stuff like that. But again, we're all there to be wrestlers. I met Terry Funk at a convention. Wow. I was working out of security. This is going back a very long time before I'd even like done any training and stuff. And Terry Funk took me aback a bit.
Yeah.
I grew up trying to find ECW to watch. Like, before there was a time in the UK where we could really get access to ECW. So it'd be like, I'd be in like the HMV or the Virgin, and we'd have one ECW VHS.
Yeah.
And I'd get it, regardless of no one on that card.
Yeah.
If Terry Funk, people like that, and Terry Funk and like Lance Storm and people were on it, that'd be the tape I'd buy over like the WrestleManias and stuff. But again, it was just a different niche of wrestling for me. So when I finally got around to meeting Terry Funk at that convention, it was kind of like, that took me back a bit. But locker room-wise, it's kind of, we're all kind of there to do a job.
Yeah.
I know that sounds very, very pedantic and stuff, but it's kind of like, if we're all brought in by the promotion to do a job, and everyone's nice to each other. No one should be starstruck, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I understand. Most people, I tend to get people who are starstruck by when they bring it, they've gone to a seminar more than.
So seminar wise, like when I met Rick Rogers and stuff like that, that was taken back.
Yeah.
Rick Rogers. But then that kind of thing you down with Rick because he ended up staying at my house that weekend.
Oh, wow.
So it was kind of like we met Rick and it was like, oh my God, that's Rick Rogers. But then midnight at my house, we were all sat there with Rick Rogers. So I've been talking to Gregory Iron. I don't know if you know who Greg is.
I've heard the name. I've not seen anything by him.
Yeah, he's a US independent worker with cerebral palsy.
Yeah.
But we're gonna try and bring him over next year, Greg. But I'm hoping that'll be a starstruck for people, but in a different way, because of the positive vibe, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Like, he's proving that he can do what he's doing, but with this disability. So I'm hoping if that comes over, that could be like a, oh, wow, for people, but in a more, this is brilliant, and it needs to do it, we can do it, than a starstruck vibe.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Sinclair, Jack Sinclair, and you are listening to the Broken But Glorious podcast.
Cool, so then you decided to start promotion, so you started wrestling sport first?
John Kane, he started wrestling sport, and the reason John started wrestling sport was, because I was away when John started wrestling sport, and the reason he started it was a community centre in Liverpool.
Yeah.
That needs funding. And what it does is that gives people with disabilities who'll never work somewhere to go every day.
Right, okay.
They'll do tasks like make tea and Hoover. And, you know, tasks, like just things we take for granted. But for these people, they're going there every day. And for them, that's going to work. But they've run out of funding. And John was very much involved with it. So we started wrestling sport. And they run every other month. And all the funds that you make from wrestling sport go to the Bridge Community Centre.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, so it's a, like, lads volunteer their time to go down and do these shows to help this centre, so it's cool. And then I was away, I was in China, and John messaged me and was like, look, we've got this show in Broadway, I know you're from the area. He was like, do you want to come and do this show? And I was like, well, I'm in China. And he was like, what date are you home? And I told him, he was like, well, the show is 3 days later. Just come along. I'm like, mate, I've wrestled 3 times in the past 2 years. And he was like, yeah, just come along. We'll make like a hometown boys thing about it. And I was like, right. Like, but it's just flown from there, really, since June.
Cool. So take us back to your first show as a promoter then. So is that...
It was, the first show promoter wasn't actually under Just Fab Pro Wrestling.
It was
a charity show. There was a guy called Christian Thornton who managed the bar in Widnes where I live at the moment, and he was stabbed to death outside his own bar. And what happened was, it was just a big community thing, and my family knew his family, and my partner's dad was friends with him, and so I thought, what can I do? The only thing I know is wrestling. And I had good links with the guys at Runcorn, and I've got links with the guys at Infinite, and then I've got like links with the like wrestling sport guys. So I thought, I'm going to ask who'll donate time for this show. And then like, because we got Paradox, we got Pitbull and Dave Faulkner, and then they brought lads with us. So what started, got matches on to raise some money, went into like a 3.5 hour show.
Wow.
But everything that was getting done was like, let's go to the bars and raise money, or let's do this. And they've done a wonderful like motorbike, 15 was into motorbikes. But for me, it was kind of like, let's just put a wrestling show on. No one got, but we've done something then. And it wasn't like to try and get me press or anything like that. It was just, we want to help this family. And so it's because they won the bar was closed, and there was no definite time for when it was opening because of what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, let's see what we can do. And we put this wrestling show on. And then from that, it was kind of like, me and John Kane sat down and we're like, what can we do here? And then I was like, hey, I'm going to buy a ring and make more shows and make more people happy. And he's like, you won't. And then I rung him like, hey, you bought a ring? I booked a venue. Like, this is happening. And he was like, oh.
Yeah, I think it was a giant leap. It was a giant leap into the unknown of what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And if it works, it works. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But we're having fun doing it. So.
Cool. So what can the listeners expect from a Just Fabulous show?
So the December show, we've already announced that, because we'd announced the 6-man tag, and then, because on the first proper show, we had the wrestling sport guys invaded at the end of the show.
Yeah.
And then I went to wrestling sport at their following show with a couple of other guys, and we've done bits there. And then we'd announced the 6-man, which was going to be me, Tommy Jackson and Brian Aidenson against three of the wrestling sport lads.
Yeah.
So now we've changed it. So Brian's going to defend his belt against Isaac North. He's the wrestling sport champion, but he's going to be champion of champion, belt for belt.
Oh, wow. That's a good contrast in styles. It could be a really fun match.
Yeah. For me, Brian, how much potential he's actually got. And Isaac's pretty similar, but then they're completely contrasting styles.
Mm-hmm.
So I think setting them up together will really work in the, like, Isaac's a big tattooed thug, and then Bry's quite technical.
Yes.
And he can do it. He's got good strikes, but I think if they get into a striking fight, it's going to blow people away. I don't think people realise how good a strike they've got, you know, so hopefully that'll thing. And then we've got, AJ Aaron Johnson, technically retired. Wrestlers never really retire, but no. AJ technically retired. And then he came out for the charity show for me. And then I was like, hey, do you fancy doing a bit more? And he was like, oh, I don't know, blah, 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 blah. And with AJ, it's kind of, it's an as and when thing. If he feels like he's interested,
I'll always.
But he had Kay Lynch on my last show. And then he's got, Robin Riley, Freddie Riley on this show.
Yes.
It's
been promoted as best friends, like father, like son.
Yeah, he's his son and he's my dad and really good friends. And outside of wrestling, they go out quite a bit as friends. And I think I've given them, that's like a 20-minute Iron Man thing. So I think 20 minutes between them two have got a good competitive nature. I'm hoping to see a lot more like one-upmanship between them. Really cool. Plus, their styles really go well together, and it's all about entertainment. I think as well that we've not announced we're doing a Money in the Bank thing.
Oh, right, cool.
I know who's in it, but I'm just trying to work out. I'm going to announce it separately, so I don't want to blow it all the way here. But I've got people in that who'll never work,
yeah,
but all work nice, different niche styles. So I think, again, it'll be interesting to see.
So is it going to be a ladder match, or is it going to be like a gauntlet?
If the venue aren't listening, it's definitely going to be a lot of it. But if the venue are listening, we'll just tell you today what it is. But as of now, I'm thinking it's going to be a lot of match. It's just logistics with the venue and stuff. The venue we've got in the studio has got quite high ceilings, and it's got hooks on the ceiling as well, so it shouldn't be such an issue.
Yeah.
But even if we just do 6 lads in an elimination thing, the lads and girls who I've got, I think it'll flow well either way.
How do you decide who's going to face who?
It's people who I want to see wrestling to them.
Yeah.
No, I know that sounds ridiculous, but from a wrestler, if I think from a wrestler's point of view, if I think two wrestlers are going to entertain me,
yeah,
I'm very much going to want to see that match. Things going forward, so obviously it's a joint promotion thing at the moment. I got two guys or a guy and a girl or two girls together who, for me, I don't think would entertain me personally, because then that's not going to entertain the crowd. I'm trying to do things that people haven't overly seen with people either. So if you look at my last show and the stuff I've announced for now, it's guys you're seeing a bit more than you normally would, mm-hmm, elsewhere, but they're still not regular faces everywhere.
No.
So I want to put guys together, because I've said it before to a few lads, in 12 months, the lads I'm using now, I think will be on the shows around the country that people go and see all the time. So I want to, in the selfish way, I want to get in there before these places and be like, lads, this is what you can do. Like, this is,
like, be confident, be this, and, like, just smash it for yourselves. And then in 12 months, the bigger places, hopefully in 12 months, I'm one of the bigger places.
Yeah.
Wrestling sports, one of the biggest places. But why are we starting off? These lads are the lads that should be getting more places. And if you, when they, and just, it's extra dates for the people, if that makes sense. It's extra shows, ring time, ring time. So, at the moment, I'm very leeway. As long as me storylines are going where you need to, if someone says to me, oh, I'd love to wrestle him, and I've got them both on the show, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to be like, right, there we go. Yeah. I'm happy. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, I'll be honest with them and say, look, I don't want to do that. The Isaac and Bri thing is because he's champ. Isaac's their champ. It's got to happen.
Yes.
I think it'll be good clashes, and with AJ, it's kind of like they put a picture on Instagram of AJ hugging Freddie.
Yeah.
A group message with them. They were like, how do you want to, how do you fancy wrestling each other on my show? And they're like, what? Like, that picture just makes you want to see it. But the next show is going to be Cement Epiphany, and then going forward, it's got to be strategically booked for storyline wise.
Yeah, that was my next question. Are you planning to do ongoing storylines from show to show?
We've got, right now, we've got the one storyline running through, which is the wrestling sport, just fab storyline.
Yeah.
And the good thing about that is, I don't necessarily have to run a show every month, because wrestling sport will run a show the month I don't run.
Yes.
So, for us, there'll be a lot of cross-promotion between the two of us. There'll be, hopefully, getting fans to go to both shows. Like, more promotion for wrestling is what this is about, because it's kind of like, I want to, like, if people are going to my show, and then people are going to John's show, then they might see, like, say, like, Harry McKenney, or Jack, or Lance, on one of our shows, and go, oh, they wrestle there in the Runcorn poster, let's go and see Runcorn. Or they'll see, like, James Reed and Matt Davis, and go, oh, they're from FS Wrestling, let's go and watch them.
Yeah.
And then we've got Isaac, who wrestles for Infinite, and go, oh, Isaac's from Infinite, let's go and see that. So, we're hoping to use lads that will help other places as well, but then we're still going to be running storylines through to kind of make things make sense. We run a lot of online things as well. I don't know if you've seen, but a lot of online promos or a lot of online incidents and stuff like that.
Yes, I see it on your Facebook page.
Yeah, so like, it's kind of a thing you don't see anymore. Like, we were saying, how many wrestling shows have you been to in the last 2 years where you've not, where you've seen it and like, why is this guy wrestling this guy? So we're doing a lot of, we want to build things, we want things to make sense. Like, obviously you want it to be, if you just seen a poster and you went, we want things to make sense for people. So there's going to be, not major storylines running through, but there will be storylines running through that carry on to shows.
Yeah, you need to get that investment in a place, and yeah. The storylines is the best way to do it, I think. So.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
This is Brian Aidenson telling you to listen to Broken But Glorious Podcast.
Cool, so as you've mentioned, Brian Aidenson's your just fabulous champion. How did you go about deciding to make him your first champion?
Well, the Bri thing, I spoke to Jack about him being first champion.
Yeah.
And then, through different various means and how things were going to go going forward, I made a decision that, right, Bri's going to be the best guy for this first championship. Because I knew storyline-wise where we were going, so I never could have really done Jack versus Isaac.
Yes.
So I knew building the storyline going forward, and for me, there was no better person than on my show to be the first champion than Bri. For his confidence, for what he does in ring, he's very humble as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's very, like, I can ring Bri with a ridiculous idea, and he'll sit on the phone for an hour to me.
Yeah.
And in the end, we'll just chat it out, and he'll throw things at me, and we'll be like, right, that makes it better. And it's kind of a relationship I want to have with the lads I use regularly, where if I ring them and say, look, I want you to do this, and for them, they're not comfortable, or think maybe a little bit of altering might make it different, but mm-hmm. better different. Yeah. I don't want them to be afraid to be like, hey, let's do it this way. Because 9 times out of 10, I'm booking 7 matches on a card. It's kind of like, sometimes your mind just filters off. So, but yeah, it was made, and Bri didn't know until the day that he was going over. Bri didn't know he was winning the belt until maybe an hour before the show started.
Oh, wow.
So, and Tommy Jackson, who's lifetime friend of Brian, we have been outside the wrestling world.
Yeah.
I spoke to him and was like, look, putting a belt on Bri, don't want him to know. So we got him in a disabled toilet at the venue. And we were like, look, and he said, what's going on now? What's changed now? And I was like, putting you over for the belt. And he was like, what? And I was like, yeah, putting you over for the belt. And I had this frame made for him. So like in the frame, there was the logo and, the match card, and I wrote him a letter, like, just, like, with a lot of inside personal things to me and Bri.
Oh, wow.
And, like, just give him it. And he got quite emotional for it. But for me, when he loses that belt, he'll always have that frame with that stuff in.
Yeah.
That will remind him of this. Because it's a strange one. Because I stopped wrestling, I was done. And I only started wrestling last October with my partner. Used to say, my friend Steve wrestles. I'm like, don't know who he is. And then she showed me, and I'd never met him. And I was like, message him and see where he trains. And he trains with Rome Corn, with Andy.
Yeah.
And I said, message him and see if I can go with him. And without even battering an eyelid, he'd never met me. He was like, send him my number and get him to text me. And I was like, right, so I ended up meeting him on Saturday and going with him. First time I met him on the bus. And we just chatted about what he wants to do and told me where he wants to go. I remember him talking about Dean Malenko.
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff about Dean Malenko. And I'd always joke with Steve about being my Dean Malenko. And in this letter at the end of it, I'd put, thing is, mate, I always joke about being the next Dean Malenko or being my Dean Malenko. But the thing is, you're not Dean Malenko. You're going to be the first Brian Adamson, and you're going to be my Brian Adamson, and you're going to be the next Brian Adamson. Because he's got the potential to go as far as he wants. He just needs to be more confident in himself.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that this will push him on to be a bit more confident with it as well.
Oh, amazing.
This is the Playboy Prince of Professional Wrestling, Lance Rivera, and you are listening to the number one wrestling podcast, Broken But Glorious.
Right, so I've had a couple of listeners' questions sent in.
I'm definitely dreading these.
So Steve Connor asks, where do you see Just Fabulous Wrestling in 5 years' time?
Completely different to what it is now. We've got a lot of things going forward that we're just working out. I'm having meetings with a venue tomorrow, actually. I've had meetings with venues last week. I can't confirm anything yet, but we've just got a new venue for Liverpool City Centre.
Wow.
In January, 23rd of January it is. But through the venue and other different things, I can't say what venue that is right now. I know that's, skipping around things,
yeah.
But the venue have asked us not to mention anything publicly until it's all thingy. But that's going to be completely different to what we do normally.
Yeah.
So we're running the family show, but that's going to be an over 18 show.
Wow. That's
really so we want to, for us, wrestling right now is where it needs to be in the way of progress going forward. And in 5 years, we're hoping that we can help that progress be completely different, whether or not we're still running the community centres and the pubs and the church centres and stuff, or whether or not we're running the Wigan Stadium.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, we just want to make people happy. So I'm hoping we're a lot more advanced in 5 years than I am now. And I'm hoping we're making a lot more people happy than we are now. So hopefully that answers the question.
He also asks, he also wants to know what's your dream matches. Shall we do one for you as a wrestler and one for you as a promoter?
Dream match for me and a wrestler, it'd be Triple H, but obviously that's me. Triple H probably never ever happened. But again, the reason I'm bringing Greg over is, we're trying to bring Greg over is, 5 years ago, I put a thing on Twitter saying, I'd love to wrestle Gregory Iron.
Yeah.
He's such an inspiration, and not just to me, but to everyone out there with what he's doing. And he messaged me back, and he was like, we will make this happen.
Amazing.
So a year later, it come up on me time hop or whatever it's called, and I tweeted, "Hey Greg, year later mate, and we've still not wrestled, so this went on for a little bit."
Yeah.
And then I was in America, just after Christmas in early January this year, and I tweeted him like, "Look, Greg, I'm older," and he tried everything to try and get us on a card somewhere.
Yeah.
But because it was just kind of around Christmas, no one wants to go and watch wrestling. So, and then he's going to be coming over. So for me, the dream match is me and Greg, just because I was done with wrestling. Like, I'd give up, not give up. I just got to a place where I was bitter with it, and I was hurt and I was beat up. But Greg eventually inspired me to be like, "Hey, let's just keep going." And I did take time off. And then the more I'd look, it was kind of like, "But he's still doing this. He's still doing this." But the dream for me had been to wrestle Greg the Iron. But WrestleMania, Triple H. Yeah. Not even WrestleMania. Bad Blood, Hell in a Cell, Triple H.
Wow.
Would be, that dream, yeah.
Cool.
And then as a promoter, you'll hate me for this, I'd love to see either Matt Fox versus Billy Kidman.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if Matt said, Matt watched WCW growing up, and his favourite wrestler was Billy Kidman.
Yeah.
Or I'd love to see Brian Adams and Dean Malenko. Because I know, personally, I'd love them both, but on a, like, professionally, I'd love them both, but on a personal level, just seeing them two matches with them two people and how happy and how technical and good they'd be, they'd be the two dream matches if I come in and
not. Oh, that'd be amazing.
So, very obscure, but.
Yeah.
That's
the best way to be.
Yeah.
So, Alex Gaffney wants to know, what drove your decision to change the 48-40 in open weight championship, prestigious championship?
When Lance Rivera had the belt, me and Lance were back and forth about me wanting to change that name and change that name. Because that belt, the backstory of that is that when I was in Fiji, I seen a wrestling ring with a man in. This is a completely gimmick story.
Yeah.
Wrestling ring with a fella in with this belt. And he was 48-14, open challenge, whoever wanted it. So I beat him up so badly, he had to stop wrestling. And then said, "You take my belt around the world." So at the time, it was just a comedy belt, and we'd do stuff online.
Yeah.
There's a video of me and Billy Norton in a service station in Cheltenham where I threw Billy Norton down the stairs and his bottom fell off.
Yeah.
So then it was like, yeah, and then Jack won it on the charity show, and then Lance pinned Jack in a promo, and then I won it in a 6-man clustery thing. And then I wrestled Matt Davies at the weekend for that belt.
Yeah.
And I took a bump on some Lego, and now I've got a 6-inch gash in my back.
Oh.
And I thought, it's about time I finally made this decision to change the name of this title, and it did not be hardcore. But what we're going to do with it is, so the gimmick for that belt now is whoever wins that championship will then decide how that belt's defended.
Yes. Yeah.
So for me, I'll be the champ, and for all my matches, I'll defend it in hardcore matches. But for example, say James Reed wins it, and he does quite an MMA style character, then he could say, "Oh, all my matches you've got to win by submission or knockout." Or we could have like different, we want each wrestler to put their own spin on the belt. So it's still going to be a very gimmick title, but just in a different way.
Yes, that sounds really
good. And the belt says prestige on it as well.
Yeah.
So why not call it the prestige title? Yeah.
I don't know if this one's just fishing for compliments, but Harry McKenney asks, who's your favourite opponent so far?
opponent so far?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Harry because he asked, but no. Again, it'd be Jack and Matt. I've wrestled Harry a couple of times now, and I've said it to Harry before, so we all know I'm not just saying it because I'm in this. Harry, at his age now, reminds me very much of a lad that used to wrestle at Gunkhorn called Zach Diamond.
Yeah.
Now Zach Gibson. And the first time I seen Harry wrestle, he was very much reminded me of the first time I'd seen Zach wrestle. And I know for Harry that's a very big compliment for him, but he'll just take it on his shoulders. And I've spoken to him personally about this as well and said the same thing. Very much contrasting the way you do it and the way they hold themselves. And for me, Harry's got the potential to go as far as he wants in wrestling. But he's, right now, Harry, sorry, you're not my favourite opponent.
He's very impressive for a 17-year-old, Harry.
Oh, he's shot. Yeah, he is for his age.
I can't remember if he just wrestled you. He was about to wrestle you when I interviewed him.
I think he was about to wrestle me.
I think he came on to promote the next Wrestled Sport show.
Yeah, he wrestled me about as well, a six-man thing. I tend to selflessly book myself against Harry a lot. And ask other people to book me against Harry. He makes me look really good.
Alright, so who's your real favourite?
Opponent for me, it'd be Jack Sinclair or Matt Fox.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, Matt McNamara asks... Oh, he's asked a few, so...
That doesn't surprise me.
I hope I don't butcher how this is pronounced. So, what is Cal... Kira?
Kreia, Cal Kreia.
Cal Kreia doing now?
Yeah. It's a sad story for Cal. He was a bigger girl, but had the passion and the love for wrestling.
Yeah.
Anyone, the amount of passion and love she had, anyone should have made it. It should have been her. If that makes sense.
Oh.
And then in training, something went drastically wrong and she shattered her forearm, her elbow, almost up to her shoulder. But even now, she can't really use that arm. It's all surgically repaired.
Yeah.
But for me, for her, it's great. She had nothing to do with wrestling anymore. She doesn't even watch it anymore.
Oh.
She's happy. She's all right. She's good. She's got a job, funny enough. We got in contact again recently over something, and I see her every now and then. But she's happy and she's doing well. It's just she stays away from wrestling now.
Is Manic and Jim Powers the same person?
I have never seen Manic and Jim Powers in the same room together. But I can't confirm or deny if Manic and Jim Powers are the same person. It's just information I haven't got.
How is Big John Norton's back?
This is quite thingy, actually. I spoke to John recently. He was going to do... We were doing an angle at Wrestling Sport, and John lives not far from the Wrestling Sport where we do it.
Yeah.
Basically, we built the odds, and it was me and Isaac. And Isaac's got a few... Like a stable. Oh. So Isaac's got a stable and people with him. And I text John and was like, mate, I'm by yours. If you can come down and do an appearance, come to the ring with me, like, just to even score type of thing. And he was all for it. He didn't turn up. So I text him a couple of weeks ago. Hey, mate, we've got another show. And unfortunately, the only time John's been out of bed in the last 3 months is to go to the hospital.
Oh.
He was getting to a place where he was all right, and then his back dropped again. But the thing with John is his back and his hips dropped completely.
Yeah.
But he's at a point now where he can't even get out of bed with it. The paramedics have to come to get him in the ambulance to take him to the hospital. He's still positive in himself, but his back isn't great.
Oh. So, should Alex Stardust do a reunion tour?
I'm all for it. I don't know where Axel Stardust is at the moment. I think he's doing like dive bars around the world. But if he wanted to do a world tour, I'm sure Kiss would put him on the bill. But probably recommend he doesn't wrestle because he's deadly. But his music was brilliant, honestly.
Yeah. And finally, is Joey Fabulous related to Joey Best?
As we previously discussed, they may or may not be the same person.
Yeah.
But I think it's very like split. So one day Joey could be Joey Best, and one day he could be Joey Fabulous.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alright, so just to remind listeners, so it's Just Fabulous Pro Wrestling Day 2, Bruised But Fabulous, at the studio Witness on the 15th of December. Your main event is by Winner Takes All, Champion versus Champion. Isaac North takes on Brian Aidenson. Ticket information will be in the description below this interview. So, do you want to promote your social media before we go?
We've got Just Fabulous Professional Wrestling on Facebook, and we've got Just Fabulous_Pro, I think it is, on Twitter. I can't remember. But I know we've got a deal with WAWN_Wrestling on Twitter as well. So, if you need anything to do with us, They'll have all the information as well.
Brilliant. I'll put all the links in the description anyway, so I've really enjoyed speaking today. I'd love to have you on again in the future.
Yes, hopefully. But thank you very much for this. Very much appreciated.